I called this my title, and I know everybody wants to know what my title is, right? You just wait with bated breath. What's this title this month, this week? No, you don't. But the drone of Bethlehem. So Matthew 2, we're going to be in Matthew 2, you know, the star. You know, we've been seeing a lot of scary stuff, disturbing stuff happening with drones over New Jersey and various places, and they allegedly don't know what's going on. If you believe them, my God knows what's going on, right? All right, and we trust him. Everybody else pays cash, right? So there was, if you want to, you could call it, for that's a pretty pathetic title, I know, but Star Over Bethlehem, and we'll talk about the wise men today. And but in Jeremiah 29:13, if there's a verse, just take note of, this would probably be the theme, I think, where God says, in verse 11 is the one that says, I know the plans I have for you, they're not for harm, but for good and that kind of stuff. But verse 13 says that you will seek me and you'll find me when you seek me with all of your heart. There's no other prerequisite to finding God than to seek him with all your heart. It doesn't matter who you are, what you've been, where you've been, what you've done, what you haven't done, how big or small, how white or black or brown, or whatever you are. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And that's a promise of God. And there's many other examples of that in Scripture. And I think very much the story of the wise men really speaks about that. But with everything happening here, let me just one little note from last week. 1 Peter 1, 13, starting verse 13, talks about this verse 13, that threefold instruction in this day. Because we are, this is troubling times we're in, right? There's some really good things going on. We're really happy about some stuff that has happened and some good things that bode well for the future. And then there are those who are trying to sabotage it all, right? And some of them are in Washington, D.C., and somewhere are over in the Middle East, and some are, you know, who knows where they are. They're back in the shadow somewhere. And that's why we need to be praying and that kind of stuff. But in 1 Peter 1, as we looked at last week, verse 13, Peter is writing to the church, the suffering church. They were under persecution, so he's speaking to them about it. And he says, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Remember? To just be ready. You know, this idea of gird up, King James says, gird up the loins of your mind to get ready. Understand that this is not a time for a mental vacation from the world, right? But we need to prepare minds for action. These are days that we need to be alert. And secondly, he says, be self-controlled. And some versions say to be sober, that we aren't, our senses are not dulled. We're awake. We're sharp. We're not, other things are not pulling us away, other lesser things. But we are being self-controlled. We're sober. We're aware of what's going on. And thirdly, he says, set your hope fully on the grace to be given us when Jesus Christ is revealed. To set our hope, to fix it, like if you're in a ship and you're traveling across the ocean, you have a compass setting. You set that compass setting. The helm is set to that compass setting. We're going this direction. That our hope is set fully on what Christ will be revealed. I'm not going to let other things draw me away. But I'm going to never forget that my life is lived for something beyond this life. Not just what I get in this life, but right for what's beyond it. And as I said before, and others have said as well, it's not about how much out of this life I can get for Christ, it's how much God can get out of my life for his purposes. Amen? There's a whole different way of living. And it's kind of living the body of Christ we need to be in this day. God, use me up for your purposes, right? Because I have the reward I'm waiting for is not even on this earth. And likewise, Jesus and many, like in Mark 14, you have to turn there, but Mark 14, this is He says also in Luke and in Matthew where Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane praying, right? This is the night he was betrayed. He comes back, they're asleep, you know, and he says, watch and pray so that you do not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. And there's this, I believe this, such a call that we need to be watching and praying. And that's kind of one reason why we're watching this video. We watched last Tuesday night, the three of us that were there. We watched the first section of this video about the revival in Sunderland, England in 1907. And in that, Smith Wigglesworth and then the Jeffrey brothers also kind of came out of that or part of that as well. But to be able to see what God has done, the powerful, amazing things that God has done in spite of what was going on in the world, that we might get a picture of what God could do in our day. Amen? We don't have to just park for hope. We just hope we make it through. You know, that old hymn, hold the fort, hold the fort. How about reinforce the fort and take land for Jesus? Amen? So I know you'll be encouraged. You come and hear the story of Smith Wigglesworth. He was quite the guy. A former plumber, couldn't preach his way out of a paper bag. Then he got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and God sent him around the world. Powerful preaching and healing ministry. There was one lady who they had cancer, and you know, do not repeat this. But he slugged her in the stomach, you know, and the woman got mad at him and slapped him, and later came back and repented because she was healed of her cancer. Now that is not how you heal people from cancer, and there will be likely people who have tried to mimic that, but some of the bizarre stuff that happens, and I'm not promoting any of that at all, but. That was him, and God used him and protected her from getting hurt, and she was healed. But if we can get consumed and fill our hearts with what God has done, we have greater faith to believe what he still can do. Amen? Instead of getting so filled up with what the devil is doing today and the corrupt people of this world, if we get consumed with that, then our hope is certainly not fixed on what's coming, or we're getting hopeless. You understand what I'm saying? So to be watching and praying and seeing these kind of things, and how important it is that we do so. Luke 21, Jesus talks about that as well. But let's just move on to Matthew chapter 2. And let's look at this Christmas story. Of course, we know that unlike the story, we were gifted this by Don and Lyle Hickman, and the Hicks, and that's just such a beautiful display, isn't it? Regardless, just because the wise men weren't there that night, let's just enjoy it anyways, right? Right? It's just part of the story, the bigger story, because they didn't show up until months later. But reading in verse 1 through 3 right now of Matthew chapter 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him, for good reason. Now, just because I'm at the teacher mode in me, just some basic things. You know, we always say there's three wise men, but we don't know how many were there, right? There were three gifts, but we don't know. There actually could have been quite a number of wise men who showed up. And it wasn't just three lonely guys on camels walking in, because these guys had traveled from northern Iraq, Iran area, had been traveling probably 4 to 6 months to get where they were, and probably had many camels, many supplies, and servants. Can you imagine the entourage that comes, you know, marching into Jerusalem that day, would get a little of attention. And And so we also know that they were Persians. The problem, well, Persians, so a lot of your Iraqis, Iranians that are in the northern part of those two countries are Persian by descent. They're not Arab, they're Persian. And these were Persians. The problem with the Persians to the Romans was that they were the one kingdom that Rome and Caesar were not able to defeat. They couldn't conquer them. So this was an annoying, you know, kingdom to the east of the Roman Empire. And so there was this political tension there. And then the Magi themselves, as they're sometimes called here, they were like the religious PhDs of their day. They specialized in religion. They specialized in the natural sciences and medicine as well. Some things I've read that they would sometimes preside over the ceremony of a new king being crowned. So in a sense, what walked in Jerusalem that day was this huge entourage of this foreign people of this competing kingdom, and the ones that came in were the kingmakers. Can you understand why Herod was really disturbed and all Jerusalem? Because some kingmakers came in saying, "Where is the one who was born king of the Jews? We saw his star when we were in the east, and we've come to worship him." This was no little thing. This was significant. Herod was upset, obviously disturbed, because you understand the story of Herod. He connived and bribed. I don't know, he may have even murdered his way, but he campaigned to Caesar for this title, King of the Jews, and it took him quite some time before he finally got it. And he was not a Jew, but he got it, and now someone who's born King of the Jews, oh my goodness, this is disturbing. And also the people would be disturbed because they knew Herod. If Herod's having a bad hair day, who knows what that could mean to people, you know, people to the point of being imprisoned and beaten and possibly even executed because he's just not feeling good. He had too much pepperoni on his bagel. And these kind of things. I'm sorry, being a little silly here, but how about this star? The Magi said that they saw his star in the east, and we don't have to turn there, but that's Numbers 24, verse 17, where this kind of renegade prophet Balaam was the king of Moab or Midian, I forget. The Midian king tried to get Balaam to curse the Israelites. They hadn't come into the promised land yet. They're still wandering. He tried to get them to curse him. And he did hear from God. God did use him, but Balaam had his own problems that God dealt with him later. But all he could do, all Balaam could do, was pronounce blessing on Israel. And the king was trying to get him to curse him, just got more upset and more upset. But it was in this last thing, he says this in verse 17. He says, "I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob. A scepter will rise out of Israel, and he'll crush the foreheads of Moab and all the other kingdoms." The prophetic message that they understood, this was a prophetic announcement that when the Messiah is born, there would be a star will rise up and announce his arrival, the arrival of the ultimate king. And you can understand why maybe one reason why the scribes and Pharisees, we'll talk about in a moment, why they didn't follow them, because astrology was prohibited, you know, to look for the stars. And in their day, there were many who would look to the stars and for meaning and for direction and worship the stars and the moon and the sun and those kind of things. And some of that still today, we have people in our family, extended family, that do that as well. But at the same time, here's this prophetic message in Numbers about a star in Jacob and a scepter, a king being that will appear and be announced. And so we won't get too much into that. Some say, well, was there actually a star? And it'd be an interesting thing to study. There's nothing definitive, but there are some interesting things that did happen. We also, just a side note, again, that teacher mode, do you mind? I just step into my teacher mode. Some things about Jesus' birth, they miscalculated when they're initially trying to set the day of Jesus' birth and then count the years forward and back many, many centuries ago. And so now they realize they made a mistake. And so Jesus was probably born about 4 or 5 years before Christ. That's a funny way to put it. 4 or 5 BC. Hard to know. Yeah. Yeah. But there is an interesting thing that happened in 7 BC. In 7 BC, in 2020, there was a star Bethlehem, remember? They're talking about that and would appear. In 7 BC, so this is a little bit farther. But again, I believe God leaves us in ignorance of some things because he likes it, right? If we knew the exact day Jesus was born, we probably would worship that day, right? He says it's not so much that he was born, it's that he died, he lived, gave his life, died on the cross, and rose again, defeated death, hell, and the grave, and rose again and sent the Holy. That's what really matters, amen? We can determine what day he was probably crucified on, but in 7 BC, on May 29th, Jupiter and Saturn were right. I mean, like if you look in the night sky, they'd be like this, and it would have been quite a sight for that period of time. And then the end of September, it would happen again, exactly the same way. And then early December, about eight or nine weeks later, it would happen again for the third time in that year, because of how the different rotations of the planets are, and some are farther, some are near. They could seem like they do this and that kind of stuff. So God has a way, that this could have actually happened. But the bottom line is, if God wants to just make it happen, he can make it happen too. Amen. He doesn't need Iran to bring drones either. So, it's an interesting thing. If you want to check it out, but it was a real thing there. So let's so as the message of the Magi, they said, where is the one to have been born King of the Jews? And they wanted to worship him, and we understand what they worship. You know how you see Muslims when they do their thing, they get down on their knees, put their forehead to the ground. This is the kind of worship that they would do. And if anything, we learn from this, number one, Jesus is worthy of our worship, amen, and of our devotion. He's worthy of our greatest treasure. And also, these are Gentiles who are worshiping him, right, and acknowledging him, that there is no racial exclusivity in the kingdom of God, amen? The most non-racist faith, if there has to be, is Christianity, because the Bible says whosoever, right? Whosoever. That's always the invitation. Whosoever will come. And so, anyway, so let's go on to verse 4 through 6. It says, when he had called them, together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. This was Herod. And so he was told in verse 5, in Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. He's quoting out of Micah. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. And so Herod calls on the experts and these chief priests, just so you know, the chief priests, this would be those who would minister at the temple. If you came, you just sacrifices, or if you had the various things like the circumcision or various other ceremonies that you would have, you would be dealing with these chief priests. The teachers of the law, these are the ones who copied down the scriptures, but not just that. They also taught you how to apply the 613 laws in the Old Testament. How do you apply that to your life? And these were the experts. These were the two groups that made up what was called the Sanhedrin. You hear about that? That was like the Jewish, a combination of the Senate and Supreme Court. They didn't have a House of Representatives like we have, but like a Senate and a Supreme Court. They were the governing body for the Jewish nation. The Romans gave them quite a bit of legal authority to govern. One of the few things they could not do, they could not execute anybody, which is the whole story of Christ, where they went to Pilate, you know, help, we need you to crucify this guy. And because they didn't have the authority, but they, I mean, this is clearly a political thing going on, like it or not, right? But the experts here weren't even aware, were they, of this star prophecy? They knew the Messiah was coming; he'd be born. But you just wonder, with all that happened, as this king-making entourage comes in from a competing kingdom, comes in, and they say, "We've seen the star of the one born King of the Jews. We're going to worship him." Wouldn't you want to be a little curious? As they, you know, as they go, but nobody did. None of them followed whatsoever. And it's possible. This is just maybe me, but it's possible for us to know the truth of God's word, and yet, even when things are stirring, we still stay in our spiritual lazy boy, because we don't want to be stirred out of, you know, how our life is going. We don't, you know, don't talk about those things. It makes me uncomfortable. Things are fine right now. Just right in my, and I believe that's one reason why so many people don't want the pastor or people to talk about the news. Don't talk about the news in church, because it might upset things. It'll stir me up, and I might have to think about things I don't want to think about, and get off my couch, my spiritual couch. Sadly, the danger, I believe, in America especially, we can get into a spiritual retirement mode, with kind of like the cruise line for Christ, you know, and things are going fine, and we just like it, just gonna make it until the end, just hold on until Jesus comes, and play golf, you know, the gospel of golf, and that's my life. And yet God is, I believe, calling us to something greater, something more significant. Amen. Something, He wants us to be that change agent. He wants to be a catalyst for life, a catalyst for a hope, a catalyst for seeing people be healed and set free. And also that light and salt that we've been called to be in this day. We can't afford to check out in these days, can we? Jesus said, I want you to be watching and be praying. I want you to be alert, right? That be on your guard, he says. That we all need to be living, aware of what's going on and being connected. Because I believe God wants to do great things. How about you? He wants to do very significant things in this day. And I believe that not only can we see God move through an elected leader, pray for his continued safety and wisdom as he looks to become the 47th president on January 20th. But we can believe for something more than just some political revolution or the things that we really we need to see some major arms cut off of this Goliath, this mammoth thing called the U.S. federal government. We need to see things happen that roots out the corruption and some serious cancer that's deep within the political system in our nation today. But there's a greater thing that we can believe for than just that. Amen. See God move with power. See that the church of God come alive. That Pentecost gets renewed in our day. Amen. Where signs and wonders actually come and confirm the word that's being preached. Amen. That not just a few select, you know, Christian celebrities going out there, but Joe Schmo going there in the line at Bi-Mart lays his hand on somebody who's sick, and by the time they get home, they're well. The kind of things that God has done in the past, we can believe for this day. Amen. And this is, I believe that the promise of God, this is what we need to be seeking for. We can be thankful for God. I've said it before, others have said it, that this election to me was God saying, I'm going to have mercy on this country just for a little while, right? We deserve judgment. We deserve the guy who's about to leave, because that's, we as a nation have run after the things of this world and told God, you're unconstitutional in our schools. You're unconstitutional in the public forum. You're certainly unconstitutional in politics. And yet, as many, many believers have taken this time, these years to lift up our nation and how many of you, I don't know, it was the week before the election, and I saw a video of a bunch of school children. I think it might have been in India or one of those nations, and it was a school, a whole bunch of children in a room maybe almost this size, and they're all in their lines, and every one of those kids have their hands raised, and they're interceding for the United States of America. How about that kind of children's ministry, huh? How about that kind of thing happening in our youth? You know, there's so many. How about that happening? You know, I think it is a really wonderful thing that this prayer room is pretty full on Sunday mornings. And I've told somebody, maybe we should make that our attendance number, right? But when God begins to stir people's hearts and we truly commit ourselves to seek the Lord together and believe for bigger things, you seek me with all your heart, you're going to find me, all right? I believe that we, the hope that's before us is not going to be found in Donald Trump. As thankful as I am, you may not be as I am, that he's going to be in the White House. We want the Holy Spirit to be in God's house, right? And then go to our house, go to your house, amen? That we have this moment of God's mercy upon us. And what he's asking of us, I believe, is that we would seek him with all heart, like the wise men left their comfortable lives. These were wealthy men; they had wonderful lives, and would travel. I don't remember how far it is—a thousand or so miles, or something like that—over about 4 to 6 months, just to give gifts to the one born King of the Jews, the bow, and then to go back. That's nothing small, right? And we also notice the gifts, just a side note, the gifts that gave him the gift of gold, that was the gift you give to a king, right? They gave him frankincense. That's the gift of the priest. The priest would enter in like Zechariah did in Luke chapter 1. He goes in there to offer the incense on the altar of incense. He and Elizabeth, you know, they were beyond, AARP had cut them off. They were so old, you know, they couldn't have any children. You know, he goes in there and he's going to offer incense on the altar of incense right in front of the veil of this that separates the holy place from the Holy of Holies. And there on the right side is Gabriel and says, don't be afraid. You're going to be a dad or something to that effect. All right. Anyways, that's whatever got, you know, that was just a really good point. Whatever I was getting at, I don't remember. But But this is the God that we serve, that he comes and invites us to do this work that he's called us to do. And if there was some other point that I was supposed to say, I'll remember it eventually, maybe in the middle of the night. But I want to close this at Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, if you want to turn there. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, very familiar verses, but the whole thing. Gold, frankincense, I'm sorry. Yeah, and keep turning to Romans 12. And the third gift was myrrh, right? And myrrh, as you know, all of you know that, but when they would, the traditional way in which a body was buried, and John, when Josephus and Nicodemus were given the body of Jesus, they wrapped it with 100 pounds of spices and herbs and linen. Myrrh would have been a significant kind of aromatic, pasty kind of thing that they would wrap his body with a layer. Then they would put these herbs and the myrrh. They'd wrap some more. You can see how it would make kind of a cocoon type thing around his body, which makes his resurrection even more miraculous, because the grave clothes were still there. But the myrrh, and obviously pointing to the fact that he was born that he might die for us. And thankfully, he did not. Thankfully, he defeated death itself. Amen? So Romans 12, just verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. See, just as... You know, we know the story. Herod, you know, he wanted the wise men to come back and tell me exactly where he's at, because I want to go worship him, right? You know, sure he did. He had found out from the exact time the star had appeared, and now he just needed to have the location so he could obviously go back and take him out. God warned the wise men in a dream, not go back to Herod, of course. You know, and they did. They went a different way. Herod finds out in a rage. He orders that all the boys under 2 years old in Bethlehem be executed. And that happens. And some would say, because of the size of Jerusalem, of Bethlehem, that may have only been about 60 children. But if it was one of yours, that's one too many. Amen. But the horrific thing that he did. See, when God says it's going to be done, it's going to be done. Amen? And when when he says it's now time for this to happen, it will happen. No matter what others do or try to do. Galatians 4:4 says, in the fullness of time, God sent his son, born of a woman, into the man to redeem the world. See, in the fullness of time, God has his plan. He will do what he says when he says, and no, nobody can keep him from doing it. Psalm 2, verse 4 Psalm 2 talks about how here the leaders of the world, we're gonna defeat this God. We're gonna kill this God. We're gonna throw off his shackles, and we're gonna live our own way. And verse 4 says, God sits up there, looks at man, and laughs. How foolish can man be to even think? How can we not look around? I mean, like we even sang about it, the creation declares the greatness and the gloriousness of God. We can't walk out of this building and not have a witness that there is a God out there that's even greater and outside of all this creation. You don't get this beauty and majesty and mystery from nothing. Nothing cannot take nothing and create this. There has to be someone greater than any of us can comprehend out there to create this. As much as anything in this room, even these beautiful statues here and these things, everything had a creator, and the creator is far more advanced than the creation. In fact, even more so, is separated from the creation. If that's true about these little things in this room, how much greater is that about the creation in which we're living? And how marvelous is the one who created it, and that we better find out who that is. Because he might have some requirements, right? And we very likely might have to give an account before him that day. And the fact that we think that somehow by our little clever schemes we can sabotage the work of God is just foolishness. And Herod thought he could. In fact, what happens is they just help to propel God's work even more so, right? So Jesus Joseph and Mary, God warns Joseph in a dream after the wise men leave that Herod's going to try and kill him. And so they go down to Egypt. And you think, oh, man, they're messed up. Now they had to go run off to Egypt. Hope we can get back on track. Well, that actually was right on track, because the prophecy was, out of Egypt I called my son. He quotes that. And then later, they end up, when they come back, they go up to they don't stay in the Bethlehem area like they had been for a couple years. They go up to Nazareth, where they're from, and the Bible says that he will be called a Nazarene. Everything that the enemy does to try to sabotage the work of God actually propels him further in his purposes. How just surrender right now. Stop trying to get away from God, because you can't do that. And the confidence that you and I should have in this life, as we recognize this is the God we serve. Amen? This is the whom we worship. This is the one who calls us to come to him, and we now can call him Father. Amen? So that we, in this world, in the troubling things that are going on, we still find that place of joy and peace because we're trusting in him. Right? Romans 15:13. Right? We're finding that, and joy isn't this giggly kind of, you know, goofiness. Joy is this confidence. You know, yeah, I'm concerned about what's going on there, but I have a joy that I know that my Father knows what's going on, and he's going to lead me through. And that brings me peace in the midst of all the turmoil and the anxiety that's going around me. I have a peace inside of me that I know that my God will lead me through. And that if I keep just walk with him in this way, that I offer my body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Holy meaning that, God, my life has been set apart for your purposes now. I'm not adding you to my life like adding an ornament to a Christmas tree or something on the mantle over your fireplace. I'm giving you the throne of my heart. There's a whole different way of doing that my life now has been set apart. I had my plans and my purposes and those things, but I just lay those aside. God, I am yours. What plans and purposes do you have for me? I want to fulfill those. Hold, my life is holy to you, and only in then can I be pleasing to you as well. In fact, Hebrews 11:6, we looked at that last week as well, right? Without faith is impossible to please God, right? Faith meaning that I put my trust in him, and that I don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world. My life is changing. I'm beginning to allow the word of God, that the ways of God, to be applied to my life. And as I do that, my mind gets transformed because my mindset is changing. Again, like I've said, you're not just living the way that this world wants to live, focusing on how to get ahead, how to just get that next promotion, how to get that house, how this and these kind of things. How can God get glory out of my life? When we lift our sights to that level, that God, how can you get glory out of my life? Everything else comes into a better focus. Amen? And Matthew 6:33, where Jesus said, seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, the things that I value, and all the other stuff you worry about, how you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, the roof over your head. All those I'll take care of at the same time. But be holy. Set your life apart from my purposes. Find out the ways that I can get glory out of your life. And you watch what I do in your life. And the benefit package that comes along is out of this world. Right? And not just in the life to come, but even here. To be able to be part of God's purpose, part of God's work in this life. You may not recognize it here, but believe me, you can be sure that when that day comes, you stand before him, and all of a sudden, all the line of people that you had no idea that your life touched, and you never said a word to them, but they've been watching you, right? It doesn't matter that you're not perfect, that you just be consistent with God, amen? And keep trusting him. And in the meantime, that he leads us faithfully on our way, amen? That if we will seek him with all our heart, we will find him. And if we trust him and let our lives be solely for his purposes, he will make everything else make sense. Amen? Let's stand. Would you bow your heads and just we just take a moment, just thank God for the gift of his son and our gift of eternal life. Father, we just want to thank you. Just thank him. We just thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I believe that message of Christmas where God is calling out, calling us out of darkness, calling us out of sin, calling us out of loss, calling us into his marvelous light, calling us into a redeemed life, calling us into his transforming love and mercy, that we don't have to die in our sin, but we can live for him here and not have to fear death or the grave. And I just want to invite, just challenge you to examine your heart, all of us to examine our hearts. And if the Lord is speaking to you in one way of commitment, surrender, he's just speaking to you, and you would just like us to remember you and to pray for you, I just put your hand up, and I'm just going to remember, I'm going to pray for God to touch you. Amen. 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 Yeah. Anybody else? Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God, I want to be right where you are and right with you today. Do you have anybody here that you have a specific need in your body, or that you just need healing? You need God to break through this morning. Just put your hand up. Say, God, this is me. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I don't know what. If you raise your hand, would you be willing to come up just so we could just close in prayer for you and believe God to do a work inside of you? Or maybe your hand was up for someone else, but can you come and join us? There's just a few of you I know. Just come on up here, and we're gonna pray and believe God to touch you. We're not going to do anything to embarrass anybody. We want to just believe that God's going to touch you. Honey, can anybody in your prayer team want to come on up and come on, just right up here, great. And let's, if you wanted some quiet music in the back, it'll be fine. And can we just, if you're going to pray for someone, please stand behind them. Otherwise, if you're here for prayer, come on close up to the front. And can we just, if there's someone up here you know, you'd like to lay your hand on them and pray with them, please join us. feel welcome to come and join us. Otherwise, can you just stretch out your hand and turn this into a prayer room right now and believe that God, what we're believing God to do in miracles, signs, and wonders, that He could begin tonight, this morning, right where we're at. So go ahead and you just begin to pray. Let's just believe God right now in Jesus' name. So, Father, we just thank you, Lord. Oh God, we just trust you, Father, to do that, the work that we have lifted up to you. You are the healer, Lord. You said we come to you and then you do your work. And we trust you, Lord God, that those who have come forward and asked for specific things, that you're the one working right now, even on their behalf. And we're going to give you praise and give you thanks. And Father, I pray for your hand upon each one as we go out today, and that this week would be a week of just really encounters with Jesus and glory, the glory going to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you folks. Have a wonderful, wonderful afternoon.